Welcome to Tarrant Hills Jr., Humblewood Edition. This is a Dungeons & Dragons 5e actual play podcast for kids and adults. In Tarrant Hills Jr., we will take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure, but this time, we're all burbs. This podcast is created by and for kids. So let's see what heights we can reach today, because we're burbs.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free. Through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light, I wonder if you'd wander with me. And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and the neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
And we're back to the second part of the third session. And now we see April has stooped to pick up a bag from the road. Eddie has spotted something shiny just off the side of the road. And Tim, are you helping the person who seems to actually be a cat lady? They are called...
Cyan.
Ilurans. You want all cats to be called Cyan?
Siams? Siams. She just wants...
You just love the word Cyan so much, hey?
Cyan.
It could totally just be my Ose.
Okay. An Iluron seems to be dressed in peasant folk and has a push cart and a very full backpack. She looks inquisitive. She stumbles up and she says, "My whiskers, that is close."
She just sounds exactly like the Vulpin.
Yeah, well, I was trying to go for an Irish accent and I think I did a good job of that. But all right, she stumbles up to her feet and she says, "My whiskers, that was close. Thank you for protecting me and my cart. The name's Eliza. I'm on my way to Alderhart by way of Winnowing Reach. Would you be kind enough to help me the rest of the way?"
"Well, that's amazing. We're going the same way."
"And who are you?"
"My name is Rita Harper. This is April."
"A pleasure to make your acquaintance, Rita Harper."
"And this is Tim."
"And Tim."
"Our friend Eddie."
"Hello, friend Eddie. I'm Eliza."
"Eliza, pleasure to meet you."
"Really is."
You can see that she's got a bunch of packages and a handcart. The handcart looks very heavy. And she's an Iluran, so she's not particularly strong. She's actually quite agile and dexterous, so they're not really...
"Hello."
..strong as they are, as this cart would seem to need somebody of significant strength to push it.
"What you doing?"
"Well, I was on my way with my packages to set up my shop."
"Shop? What shop?"
"Well, I'm a shopkeeper. Starting out... magical odds and ends and other artifacts and things. If you are an adventuring life and you're looking to sell something, I can definitely do that for you."
"Recently, we've been seeing a lot of bandits around, so maybe try to lay a little low."
"By Titan's eye, those bandits were trouble. Let me tell you, they accosted me, threw me in the ground and told me I had to pay a toll. I'm so glad that you all arrived when you did."
"Don't worry, you won't have to deal with that again."
"Eddie, you noticed something shiny sticking in the grass off the side of the road."
"Will you excuse me for a moment?"
"Okay."
"And then I go over to it."
All right, you can see it is a battered and bashed up short sword that one of the bandits has dropped.
"Is it magical?"
"Doesn't seem to be."
"I pick it up."
"Great, you have acquired a short sword."
"I might give it to somebody else."
"Okay, great. So, Rita, are you singing a song? Is that what was going on? Was Rita singing a little song? What was the song? Would you sing a little bit of it for me, please?"
"I was just singing the song that I was previously listening to, but I can paraphrase, yes."
"Okay. Is this a song of rest, perhaps?"
"Oh, yeah, I do have that." "Through the rains above clears the mist so you can see the clouds. But the sky won't be clear until it rains once again, my dear.
Your song of rest fills the air. If anyone is choosing to spend hit dice to heal themselves up, they get an extra amount, don't they, Robin?
I help Robin in the song by adding my flute.
What happens? Why don't you read that bard feature for everybody so they know what you do for them?
You can use soothing music or oration to help revitalize your wounded allies during a short rest. If you or any friendly creatures who can hear you, your performance, regain hit points at the end of the short rest, each of those creatures regains an extra 1d6 hit points. The hit points regained increase to level 1d8 at 9th level and 1d10 at 13th level, and finally to 1d12 to 17th level.
Perfect. Is anybody spending any hit dice to heal themselves up? You all have 2 hit dice that you can spend. You only get 1 hit die back for a long rest, though.
But I already have all my hit points.
Then you don't need to spend anything there, bud.
Because I never got hit.
No one attacks you.
So the Song of Rest has been performed. You may now roll your hit dice. And when you do so, you get to add an extra d6 to that check. Are you spending any of your hit dice to heal? You were at 0 hit points. Then Cure Wounds was cast by Tim. So Tim, when you cast Cure Wounds, how many hit points did he get back?
Where is it?
9.
Awesome. So 9 hit points have come back to Eddie, and we'll see how well Will rolled on his 1d8 plus his wisdom modifier. How did you do there, Savannah? Is April back up?
April got 4 more hit points.
Only 4?
I rolled a 3 on the d8 and a 1 on the d6.
And what's your constitution modifier?
1, so she's back up to 9.
Great. Did you want to roll your other hit die and do it again?
No.
Okay. How many hit points do you have total? What's your maximum hit points?
16.
You don't want to get those 7 hit points back?
Sure.
All right, roll it up.
Do I add the d6 again or no?
No, you only get the 1d6 one time.
I only got another hit point.
I've never seen anyone roll as badly as you roll regularly. Remember, it's 2.
Oh, right.
Okay, I'm going to roll the 1d8 for Will here because he's not around. You got an extra 8 hit points there, Eddie, that you're back up. You have used one of your first level spell slots to cast Cure Wounds on Eddie to get him back up.
At 17.
Awesome. How are we doing, Rita?
14.
Isn't that max for you?
No.
Oh, and did you spend 1 or 2 hit of your hit dice?
2.
And Tim hasn't taken any damage at all. I think it's Tim's turn to wade into combat next time, hey? Tim, who hasn't taken any damage. Well, you take an hour and you rest, and then you proceed on your way again, moving ever further towards, what is it, Winnowing Reach? Eliza is there, and you may have a conversation with Eliza if you would like to. But a couple of you, anybody who has a 12 passive perception or higher, will have noticed that April picked up that bag that jingled on the ground. Who has a 12 passive perception or higher?
Me.
Me.
How about you there, Tim? Do you have a 12 passive perception or higher?
Like passive?
Yeah, passive perception. It's at the top right-hand corner of your character sheet.
14.
Wow, I think you've got the highest passive perception score, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you even skilled at perception?
No.
That's funny. Okay, well then, everyone noticed April bend over and pick up that bag.
Hey, April.
Yes?
What's in the bag?
Money.
Do you plan on sharing it? After all, we all fought those code breakers. And it may be good not even to keep any of the money, you know?
Donate it to charity.
Well, that's what I would do. Because it's technically stealing. Because they stole You're stealing stolen items.
They didn't notice it was gone.
So it's stealing.
She's not stealing. She just picked it up.
It's not yours. It's stealing.
Let's donate it to charity.
If she gets any of the money, that's definitely what she's gonna do.
Everyone, you notice that Eddie has a new short sword that Eddie did not have before. There is no sheath for the short sword that Eddie is carrying around.
Eddie?
Yes?
Where did you get that short sword?
I don't answer.
Well, I'd really appreciate it if you told me, due to the fact—
I found it on the ground.
Thank you. I'm gonna just assume that that's also stealing and put these in a place where we can hand them in when we get to Alder Heart.
Hand them into who, Robin?
Ugh, whatever.
So cool.
No. I really want to know. Hand them into who? You want to give the bandits back their short sword and their gold?
No, I just, like...
Maybe give it
the Grand Counselor, whatever, in Alder Heart. Or, like, when we get to Winnowing Reach, people who deal with stolen items that are found.
So, you believe that that 5 gold was stolen money?
They're bandits. Whatever.
What do you know? Maybe one of them has a job.
That's fine. You are playing your character, right? But anything you take from bandits and whatnot, if you insist that those things have to be turned over to the legal authorities at all times, you will not have much in the way of loot in this adventure.
Fine.
No need to say fine. It's more than fine for you to play a character that says, no, this is the way things have to be. But everybody else, you have to role play against that. If Robin's character says this is the way things have to be, you can't all just sit there and say nothing or try to just avoid eye contact so that you're not part of this. Robin's character is creating conflict within the party, and that's not a bad thing, but it does need to be resolved.
And it means you can't kill off my character. Ha!
What? I'm gonna kill your character anytime I want. I can kill any of you. Boom, lightning, you're dead. Boom, lightning, you're dead. Boom, thunder this time, you're dead. Okay.
I have the storm domain.
Yes, I didn't kill you. Okay. You get fire. Friends, you're walking on the road. Eliza is quiet as you have this conflict. April has a bag of money. Eddie has a short sword. Does anybody know how much a short sword is worth? How much does it cost to buy a new short sword? You got a guess?
20?
It's 10 gold to buy a brand new short sword.
Fine. I don't see a reason to hand them in, but maybe we could sell it. Make good use of it. But still, I don't agree with this.
Okay, but nobody has said anything other than me. You're literally having a conversation with yourself right now.
I know.
So you have said...
But no one is talking to me.
Let's say we sell it. It would make us a lot of money and we can just buy Eddie a new one.
He already has weapons. And I... Very valuable words. Possibly selling it could be more beneficial.
Or we could just buy somebody a longsword.
And I mean, it is bandits' items, so technically...
These are the two things you found on the road. You're walking along the road. The day is nice. The earth is hard-packed as your taloned feet walk along the roads. Occasionally, one or two of you would, like, glide around just to stretch your wings.
No.
I said one or two of you, not necessarily Rita. You're walking along next to Eliza, but the going is slow because Eliza is having a lot of trouble pulling the handcart.
Ah, Eliza, would you like some help with that?
I'd greatly appreciate something along that lines of help.
How about we all take one or two boxes from the cart?
That would be fine. Or maybe one of you who's a bit stronger could pull the cart instead. I would never offer such a thing.
Awkward.
I can take care of it myself.
I could.
That would be very kind of you.
Yeah. Tim, help the lady out.
Okay.
Where is the money pouch?
April's pocket.
Okay.
April.
Yes?
As we've made plans to sell the short sword, how about we divide the money?
I was the one who found it.
Let's divide the money, but maybe April can get one or two more.
Admittedly, you made the shot, which equaled your money, you dropping the money, but we are a party, so all business decisions and money works should end up all being equal if we, you know, end up doing this as a group, which is probably what will happen. We should at least, you know, split it. It'll all end up being one compiled amount of money anyways as we make business decisions together.
Like you said, I was the one who shot it out of their pocket or wherever they had held it.
Hey, I have a good idea.
Yes, Tim?
This is a good even. It's 25%, 25%, 25%, 25% to each person. It's just the four of us.
We can make it if we try. Yeah, that's a Doki Doki Literature Club reference.
So we're still at an impasse here. Seems like three people want to share the money. April doesn't want to do that. What do you say, April?
I want to keep the money for myself, but what happened to the money about the short sword that Eddie found? I don't have to have any of that.
How much gold do you have?
Sorry, I do not agree with that. That's selfish.
You're such a selfish.
No, do not insult her. But the action and decision you want to make is self-sustaining and only benefits you. If it was split evenly, we could each do what we wanted with the money. Admittedly, it's not very easy to split equally, but still. We could even make a deal where you get, say, there were other options than just you keep it all. It's, if you wanted to have more of a cut, you could have said so.
You did offer that since I was the one who had shot it out from them, that I could have had more. And frankly, that would have happened either way, because either we split this or I don't get any of the short sword money.
If you don't mind, I'd like if I could just interject. I know I'm just an outsider, but the four of you don't seem to know each other particularly well anyway, is that right?
Yeah. No. I don't know Rita that much.
Rather cold of you.
I know everybody except for Eddie. I don't know him that well.
Yes.
I do, but
you are the one that made me a paladin.
By Titan's Law, April, you can be hard to get along with.
Right, so it seems like you're at an impasse, but I've talked with a lot of adventuring groups in the past, and it seems to me that if you follow down the road that it's April, is it?
Correct.
That April is suggesting that as soon as combat's over, you're all going to rush and elbow and push each other aside to try to scavenge whatever you've collected from whoever or whatever you've defeated. And that's not really a good way for a group to interact. That if you want to trust each other's backs, knowing that April, who didn't even get close to the combat and stayed far away, and then managed to come up at the end of the day and just pick up a bag of gold, whereas everyone else waded into combat and took a sword or a swipe or two. Now, granted, you did take a bunch of arrows to the nether bits, but nonetheless,
we sacrificed our health.
You entered the combat as a team. Don't let the winnings of the combat break that team.
Thank you. That was surprisingly well, new advice. Did you once adventure too?
I have talked with a lot, and I love to sell magical goods and special artifacts and things, and then you only can acquire those from a good adventure.
Well, you should definitely consider creating some kind of side business where you help with these kinds of problems. You'd be really good at it.
I'm making my shop for sure. Now, Tim, watch. There's a rut in the road. Oh, no. A bunch of packages fall off the top as Tim walks over a rut in the road. And you take a moment and two. You collect those packages back up. And there's a pause as Rita and April make eye contact with each other and then make a decision as to how to go forward as a party. So, April, what's your character's intelligence?
Like the bottom number or the 13?
So, your character is pretty smart. So, there's a couple of ways out through this, because you're all new to Dungeons & Dragons in this way and being an adventuring party. When we played as the Knights of the Lord's Own, you all worked together towards the same goal, and things that you collected were shared amongst the entire group because you were part of a military organization. Well, you are not that in this. You are a ragtag group of adventurers who have to make a compact with each other to work. Now, April, you're an assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're planning on being an assassin. April is planning on stabbing people brutally from behind or from the side. April will never be good as an adventurer all by herself. She needs a group. So, a selfish person will do unselfish things in order to gain selfishly. You know that you could maybe steal from the party occasionally when you kill a bad guy or you defeat an enemy and there's stuff there. You could easily, in your pocket, pull one of those gold pieces out and tell the entire group, oh, there was only 4 gold pieces in here. Let's share all of those 4 gold pieces, give everybody else 1, and then keep 1 extra for yourself. You could do that. There have been groups that have done that lots of times, and the rogue becomes this untrustworthy person at the table. But the odds of a paladin, a cleric, and a bard spotting you do that are rather high. And if you do that and they catch you, do you think you'll get to stay in the group, or would they kick you out?
There's that chance that they'd kick me out.
Yeah. Also, if you do that even one time, they'll start to wonder how many times before you did it. So it comes down to the question of how selfish are you, but how smart are you? Because a truly selfish, not smart person would take their own money now and whenever they can, and then leave the party down the road and say, oh, well, I got what I could out of them. But a very smart, selfish person sees the benefit of these 3 additional people making you even more money. I will add one last thing. It is a terrible, terrible group that has, once the combat is done, they are all rushing the bodies themselves. And then it's whoever speaks up, whoever says, I loot the body, that gets the reward. That doesn't make for fun role-playing. Because remember, I told Sav there was a bag on the ground that her character noticed because I gave the player that gift. I told Malcolm that Eddie saw a silver thing in the thing. I didn't tell anybody else. Nobody else got that chance to interact with those objects. So you have a short sword that, when brand new, can be sold for 10 gold pieces that you probably could sell back for like 6 or 5 because it's rusted and it's used. You could sell that for 5 gold pieces, maybe 6. And we have this bag. So there's a moment here. We'll go back to that. April, while the packages are being picked up by Eddie and Tim and Eliza, April and Rita make eye contact, and April says,
let's just split it. I don't feel like fighting anymore.
Thank you. I'm glad you see that way.
Cool.
This is so hard to do.
It is hard, hey?
I don't like fighting myself. Well, you didn't really fight with me. You fought with my character.
No, but Savannah, you're very dedicated and you just want what your character wants.
You're also really dedicated, yeah. Robin. Yeah. And it was like Robin was getting up. It was great role playing.
It's so hard for me to mentally do, though.
I'm very impressed with the two of you. You may both have a white gem.
I'm so bad at catching.
Don't worry, everyone misses catching the white gems. They are almost see-through. You pick up the packages and you're heading on towards Winnowing Reach. So many of you are pretty familiar with these woods because you've spent a lot of time on the roads here. You know your way around as bandits and as the grounded. You know your way around these woods.
We know them shortcuts.
And so you know that you are walking along the edge of Mock Fields, a large swampland, before you reach Winnowing Reach itself, as you can see on your map. Winnowing Reach is a small research outpost whose inhabitants study the slimes that live in nearby caverns. Eliza tells you that it was her plan to stop briefly in Winnowing Reach because she wants to sell her wares and acquire some new stock before eventually making her way to Alderheart itself. And she would love your accompaniment on the road. She says, if you'd be willing to protect me and help me along the way, I would gladly award you a single item from my cart in exchange for protection and company on the road.
Yes.
If you'd be willing.
Yes.
April immediately jumps up saying, yeah, of course, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Seems like a willing deal to take.
Yeah, let's do it.
Rita puts her ring out to shake with Eliza's paw.
Make sure she doesn't scratch you.
She is overjoyed. I'm overjoyed to have the 4 of you accompany me. This has made the walking a great deal of a comfort to me. And as you make your way down the road, terrain on the left side changes considerably. Beyond the lush green trees lining the road, glimpses of burned stumps and ash-covered fields can be seen. It looks as though a massive fire recently ravaged this place.
Oh my.
It's the heart of Humblewood.
Maybe the bandits did this.
I don't think bandits would want to take out their cover. These woods were ample places for them to strike from, and now you can see so far.
The bleak landscape seems to stretch for miles. While looking out over this gray scene, you notice a cloud of creatures flying above the ash off in the distance.
Guys, get down. There's our flying creatures.
A smudge of gray on the horizon.
There's some smudges of gray. We need to get down and hide.
Smudges of gray.
Oh, looking at the sky just makes me sick.
The sun is
okay,
really
I'm afraid
bright.
Of heights.
It's getting on towards the dinner hour as you're moving along the road, and a swarm draws near. That smudge of gray has gotten large, as Tim predicted. You can see it is composed of hundreds of tiny flying creatures, each one resembling a bat, with a candle-sized flame spouting from above its upturned nostrils. The combined heat of their bodies can be felt upon the wind itself.
They're the ones who started the fire.
You have only a couple of moments before the bats descend upon you.
Run!
Hide. Everyone, get down!
Everybody run, actually. Just run!
I think the bats are mad or something.
We need to watch that.
Well, with very little in the way of description of what your characters are doing, other than saying some sort of meme of everybody get down, the bats attack. Yeah. They swarm out of onto the road itself, a huge conglomeration, like a windstorm of fire bats. They're called ember bats. Attack, and you all will roll initiative. Next time.
I knew you were going to say
yes.
Next time.
Next time on Survivor. And
you're next time on Tavern Tales Jr. Humblewood Edition.
next time on Humblewood.
They look cute.
They're so kawaii.
Wait, their faces look really
They may look cute, but there is a burst of fire coming out of their nostrils.
Alan's
you are about to get burned and bitten by a swarm of angry bats.
Why are they angry?
Your characters huddle off to one side and everybody get down.
Everybody get down!
You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into. Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods. Over the river and through the woods.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more of the adventure. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. Find their music on iTunes or check them out at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes or check us out on Twitter at tavern_tales. See you all later!
I'm wondering if you'd come wandering my way. If you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray. The music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. Round up the troops. Get the gang to come, and we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
There's a river full of memories. Come, my darling, don't be scared. All is lost and all is found. Totally cut that out, Dad.
I'm just singing Frozen at that point.